It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're going to finish up the book of Jonah. I know it's been several weeks that we've enjoyed this study, and we're going to close her out today, and so please don't miss it, and I hope that you're able to listen. And we're going to begin reading just with the 10th verse today of the 4th chapter. And so just open your Bibles to Jonah chapter 4. Verse 10. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us, our phone number here is 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you'd like to send us an email, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Both are very usable, and just let us know that you're enjoying. If you have some questions, whatever it may be, why, just please let us know that we can pray for you and just ask the Lord to give you directions each and every day. And so this hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Jonah chapter 4, beginning to read with the 10th verse. Then said the Lord, "Thou hast had pity on the ground for which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank and praise you for the opportunity to proclaim your precious word. It's so wonderful, Father, to open your word up and enjoy it. Please that you would just guide and lead us each and every day, that we can learn your word, grow from your word, and just enjoy it, Father. It's such a privilege to be saved and be a child of God, and help us, Father, to walk each day in praising you and honoring you. And we have much to learn from Jonah. And I hope, Father, that everyone that's listened through this study has grown from it. First, that they would have accepted Jesus as their personal Savior and not just had it in their mind, but has brought Jesus down into their heart and is born again. And then, Father, just the joy of walking each day with you. And so just guide and lead us now as we enjoy this study. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Jonah in my Bible is 2.5 pages. And we find that we have had quite a discussion here about this man, Jonah. As we may have said before, it started, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. And so it ends, the word of the Lord, or then said the Lord, "Thou hast had pity on the gourd." So see, it starts with Jonah and God and Jonah, and it ends with God and Jonah. It has been said that wouldn't it have been wonderful, and if we would have been writing the book of Jonah, we would have stopped at the end of chapter 3. And as we look at this, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Close the book right there. Did we need to hear about Jonah? Did we need to hear that Jonah was upset because somewhere between estimated of 600,000 to 800,000 people fell on their face and pleaded with God to have mercy on them, and Jonah wasn't happy? What's happened to Jonah? He's a prophet of God, called out of God to proclaim God's word to the lost and dying world. What's happened to Jonah? Jonah, somewhere along the line, got his priorities all turned around. He went from serving the Lord, taking the word of the Lord out to a lost and dying world, to the Jews. We're not here, he has brought the word to the Gentiles. That's probably part of the problem that Jonah has. However, why don't we want to see someone saved? Is there anyone that you can truly say you desire that they go to hell? I hope not. I hope that those words are not across your lips and even in your mind. There are some very, very wicked people out there. There's a lot of wicked people that live in this land and in foreign lands as well. What they need is Jesus. They need to repent and turn to the Lord Jesus. Now, if they don't do that, and they find themselves in the place of torment, and eventually the lake of fire, with the devil and his helpers, and all the rest that refuse this free gift of salvation, then that's where they'll spend eternity. But it's not because we have made the choice not to tell them about Jesus. We know Jonah went the long way. He didn't take a boat, he took a fish. And God brought him back, gave him another chance. We have some words here where it seems like that Jonah is really returning to what the Lord would be pleased with. Back in chapter 2, we find some wonderful words here. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. This is verse 7 of chapter 2. And my prayer came in unto thee, unto thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Oh, to come to for his turning, his repentance, the land, the city of Nineveh, the countryside there, they needed to repent for salvation. Jonah needed to repent to return back into fellowship with the Lord. What happened? Every time that we turn around, we find that the word comes to Jonah to arise. And so we find in the first chapter, we have those words. Arise, go to Nineveh. Verse 2. Verse 2 of chapter 3. Arise, go to Nineveh. The plea goes out. First time Jonah ran away, God brought him back, gave him a second chance. And when he went into that city, and he spoke these words, that in 40 days, this land, is this town, this city, your people is going to be destroyed. And they heard those words. You see, understand, if you're a child of God and you love the Lord Jesus and you're giving out the word of God like we should, telling people about the Lord Jesus and his saving grace and excited about it, but we don't know how that person's going to respond that we speak to. We don't know if they're going to embrace it and love those words and accept the word of God and be saved, be born again. Or are they going to be angry? and I don't believe in that, or I have another God, and there's another way. Well, there is no other way. But we cannot force anyone to trust in the Lord Jesus, nor should we. We must leave that up to the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit of God will convict the hearts of men, and they will be saved. Our responsibility is to give the word out. And then, of course, when folks come to the Lord Jesus, we rejoice. But we become very disappointed when folks reject it. But we need to understand that they are not rejecting us. They're rejecting the Word of God. They're rejecting the Savior of the world. They're rejecting the Creator of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who they're rejecting. So don't take it so personal and decide that I'm not going to do this anymore, because we are commanded to do it, and we are to continue to take out the Word of God. Well, Jonah got that second chance. We've talked about God's a God of the second chance, and he gave this second chance. Jonah proclaimed the exact words that the Lord had given him, and the results were tremendous. Tremendous. I love this. So the people of Nineveh, in verse 5 of chapter 3, the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne. He laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and ashes, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. And then he doesn't say, because then God will forgive us. He says, who can tell if God will turn and repent? Who can tell if he'll forgive us? Well, my dear friend, God will forgive you. I don't care what you've done or what you've said. God will forgive you. You just need to trust in him. They were trusting in him, but they had no promise. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown was the very words that Jonah proclaimed. But look at those words. And God did. And now we're getting back to this man, Jonah. Look at it, one of the greatest revival, probably the greatest revival that's ever taken place since the creation, ever. And now we find Jonah was displeased. He was exceedingly displeased, Jonah, exceedingly. He was very angry. Jonah was furious. Doesn't seem like Jonah meant those words that he said over in chapter 2, does it? Doesn't seem like that it really affected him. And we find that Jonah, in reading through these words of chapter 4, we find that Jonah knew that that's what God was going to do. But Jonah had such a hatred for these people that he did not want to take that message to them, because he knew God was merciful, and if they turned around, God would forgive them, and here we go. Jonah, have you got people that you would never give, you'd had the opportunity, you'd never give the scripture to them, you'd never tell them the love of the Lord Jesus, that he died on the cross for them to save them if they'll just come by faith, because you've decided that they're not worthy of that? Well, I got something to tell you. I'm not worthy of that. And I'll tell you something else. You're not either. None of us are worthy of this. It's God's grace. So please, that we be not the judge and the jury and the executioner, but we be the messenger of the gospel. Jonah was so put out and so upset with what God has done. I knew you were going to do this. I knew you were going to do this. He thought, okay, these folks, it's not real. It's not going to last. I'm going to climb up on top of this hill. I'm going to look down across that city because I know that won't be long. One at a time, they'll start getting up and start cursing God again and go right back into their wicked ways. So he sat there. And the old heat of the day. He built him a little shanty that says, little shack. Over that shack grew up a gourd that God had raised up over it. It kind of cooled the old head of Jonah. And Jonah was so pleased, so happy. Finally, I'm getting some relief here as I sit here and I watch, just hoping. And look at the conversation he has with God. So literally he's praying that God's going to go ahead and destroy him. So he sits there. And he gets a relief from this gourd. Oh, he was so glad, so happy. And then God prepares a worm in verse 7. And when the morning arose the next day, why, that worm killed that gourd. That gourd withered up, went away. And that old sun came down and beat up on Jonah. And Jonah was just about to die, and he wished he was dead. Better for me to die than to live, verse 8 tells us. God asks Jonah a question. Verse 9, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, yes. And I'm so angry, I'd just soon just die. What happened to Jonah? What happens to us when we lose touch with reality as far as a Christian's concerned? What is important? A soul is important. What is important? Giving out the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus, and telling folks that Jesus died on the cross for them, took all their sins away. Please, let that Spirit come in, convict your heart, and come in and save your soul. Please. Please, let that happen. But we're more concerned about things. Oh, you know, it's too cold in the house. It's too hot in the house. This broke down. I need a new car. You know, we need to really remodel this house. You know, we need to do some work outside. You know, I wish I had a tent or something that I could sit underneath, that I could just kind of have a little satisfaction, a little pleasure here. We're all about the things of this world. And we're just like Jonah. When something happens in this world that it takes some of the joy away, we're mad. And we lose total track of what's important. And what's important is that folks would be saved. Jonah is still mad. He was so happy that he had this plant grow up over the top of him to cool him a little bit. He had no desire that one single soul in Nineveh get saved. Gentiles are wicked. They are a very wicked people. And Jonah did not have the slightest desire that anyone would be saved. And when they were, he was mad. When the gourd grew up, he was happy. So something, this old, you know, all right, boy, finally the air conditioning's working. Oh, the air conditioner quit again. And now you're mad again. He was so mad he'd just soon die. And, you know, we get the same way. We get our lives so out of kilter that we look at things that do not have the appearance of, you know, they're not important, my friend. They're not important. What's important is that we have a love for the Lord Jesus, and nothing excites our heart any more than when someone's saved. Nothing. Now, a lot of times we do just like Jonah. We have the opportunity to lead somebody to the Lord Jesus, and then we kind of just go back and sit in our chair and we watch them. Well, I don't know if it was real or not. Well, we don't know if it was real or not. We don't know if they meant it. But that's between them and God. That's not between us and that person. They have got to deal with God. When they have accepted that gift, and if they didn't mean it in their heart, then they're hellbound. I don't care what words they said. But if they meant it, they're saved. And we need to treat them just like they meant it. Because that's all we know. We can't see the heart. So we feed them. And we tell them more about the Lord Jesus. And we bring them into the Bible studies. And bring them into church. And bring them into that fellowship so they can enjoy it. That's what we do. Or should do. Or do we just say, well, I don't think they meant it. Look at their life. It's not changing fast enough. Again, that's between that individual and God. Stop being the judge. We judge them when we say we're not going to give them the gospel because they're not good enough. We should never, ever have that thought in our heart. I don't care where they came from. I don't care what they've done. I don't care what color their skin is. They have a wonderful opportunity of accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior because every single soul is going to die and go to hell without Him. So we need to trust in Him. We need to ask Him to come into our hearts and to save us. That's what we need to do. Look at the summary here at the end of this fourth chapter. Then said the Lord, Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for that which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night or perished a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? See, we're not told the number, but when we have the right hand to the left, we're feeling that that's probably speaking of children. And so if there's that many children, there's probably 600,000 to 800,000 adults. And they have trusted in Jesus. And Jonah here, he had pity on the gourd. Oh, the gourd's died. Oh, my head's hot again. And yet had no pity on those people in Nineveh. Not one single desire that one single person gets saved. I pray that I would never, ever get to the point that I look at a person and I decide they don't deserve the grace of God. There's too many folks out there today that aren't giving out the gospel. Many churches have stopped preaching the gospel. It's kind of a universal salvation. If you're born, you come to church, you're saved. Oh, that's a lie. Jonah proclaimed the truth. We're to tell folks that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're to tell folks in John chapter 3, you must be born again. Born again. You've been born once, but you're spiritually dead. So you need your physically born. Now you need to be spiritually born to get back into fellowship with the Lord and follow and enjoy the peace and the joy and the excitement that He gives us, the knowledge, the wisdom. What happened to Jonah? We don't know. We're not told here. We're told all about the things that took place. But the question is ended, and should not I spare Nineveh? That was the last words that we have recorded here in the fourth chapter. We don't know what's happened to Jonah. We don't know from this point on what's happened to him. Is he going to wake up, or is the Lord done with him? We talk about that he is the God of the second chance. Well, he's also the God of the third, the fourth, the fifth, and the sixth chance. But what about Jonah? Jonah's going to have to get up and accept the hand of God and repent of his ways. When he was in the belly of that fish, Jonah got to a place that he realized there was nothing he could do other than call upon the Lord, name of the Lord. Now, he should know the same thing over here. Instead of that, now he's out and about, sitting under his little building, and gourd grows up. Oh, wonderful, wonderful. And we get so excited about things of this life and things of this world, and we are so uninvolved and have no excitement when we come into the house of God to hear the Word of God, to grow enough, to be strengthened enough to take out that precious Word to this world that is in the most wicked place that I've ever seen in my lifetime, and I've been here for 60-plus years, and I do not, have never seen things, the condition that the world is in today. Now, I know there's been some times in the past that have been very, very wicked times. But it is going to continue to get worse. You need Jesus. Our enemies need Jesus. That's what they need. You say, we're going to just go kill them all. Well, death sometimes is the only way for us to survive. We have to destroy the enemy. But all that enemy needs is Jesus. That's what they need. They need to receive that precious free gift of salvation. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. As I said earlier, we would have ended with the third chapter rejoicing. Oh, the whole city's saved. Look what Jonah's done. It's great. He would come out of there with been named the greatest preacher of his time. But he got no benefit of it. Not one single. God's got perfect accounting. And when you do something for him in service in some manner or another, maybe giving someone the gospel, helping someone to grow, doing things in service unto the Lord, whether it's around the church or helping a neighbor, whatever it might be, as you're a child of God. But if you do it, that someone's going to pat you on the back, or you do it because it's someone that will return that favor, then that's the reason you're doing it, then there is no gifts for you. There's going to be no rewards for you. We need to do it to people and for the purpose that it cannot be paid back. We have no value. We're not excited. We do not want someone to return that favor to us. If they do another time, that's just fine. But we're not doing it to receive that favor. We're doing it to improve. We're doing it to grow. We're doing it that it will help someone. There's a lot of things that we can do to help people, and we need to do just that. And Jonah is missing out on all of it, and we don't know what happened to Jonah. We don't know where he went. We don't know whether he repented and God was able to use him again. It's not recorded. Or Jonah just plain went away. He tried to run once, and he is so upset that this city has repented. He's upset that the gourd died. It's just Jonah is, to his mind, having a bad day. Well, we never have a bad day if you're a child of God. Some days go smoother than others, but every day's a good day. Please, just enjoy the Lord Jesus. Serve him. Be excited about taking his word out. Be excited when God does such a miracle as this in someone's life, when an individual's saved, and rejoice. Rejoice. So don't be so tied up in the things of the world, and rejoice when you get something and then be angry when it's broken. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?